and she meets Jesus. You know, you never know where you're going to meet Jesus. Isn't that true? Right? You just never know. He's the Son of God. He's the one who wants to be known by us. He's not like this kind of a thing where it's just by chance. He makes himself available to every human being, right? In different kind of ways. The power of the Spirit is very, very mysterious, but it's true, and it comes into people's lives and touches their lives. And we just witnessed that in this wonderful story today. Do you remember who we heard about last week? I won't do that to you. It was Nicodemus. Right, Nicodemus, right? So we have a series that now in the Gospels coming up this month leading up to Easter about people who met Jesus before he went to the cross, and he wanted to make sure that Pharisees knew him as the Messiah, that Samaritan women knew him as the Messiah, and others that we're going to meet, people of all likes, walks of life, women, men. Right. And it was very unusual for a man to speak to a woman in those days, just like Jesus did, and much less a Jew to a Samaritan. Right. And we get that as well in all of these stories here, that God breaks down these barriers that are set up and he reaches all people with the gospel. Right. Look around us. We have all different kinds of people sitting here today from different backgrounds, and we come from different walks of life, different cultures. And yet God has assembled us here, and here it is, the Church of Jesus Christ, right? The Church of Jesus Christ is evident here among us. We need to praise God for that, right? To praise his holy name. So before I forget what I was going to say, let's go into the Word, and we'll talk about that more directly. Now, the children heard a lesson about water and how the water mixes with the paint, and we may have watercolors. We have some people here today among us who do water painting, and it's really beautiful. But I started to think about this as I prepared the sermon this week, and I thought I'd like to share some other things that we might not remember or even know that water does for our bodies, right? So the woman that was going to the well, she was probably going there for drinking water, probably most of all, or to prepare things or to other things as well, clean dishes maybe, but you know, she went there for that purpose, but it was mostly going to go into bodies, right, into drinking water. And to, I started thinking about, what does water do for us? Well, I went online and I found something that's really great. It's a small kind of a figure here, but you can see the water is from the feet all the way up to the shoulders. And it's like the body, our body is mostly water. So water is important, you know, to think about that. Most of your body weight is water. Right. And so they did a really excellent job here of kind of pointing out some of the things that it's used for. I'll try not to read ones that make us feel uncomfortable. But it's really actually all scientific, so it doesn't matter. Okay, so if the first one at the top of the list here by the head, it says it forms saliva for digestion. Saliva doesn't just come out of us by magic. It's through the water intake, and it comes through, and we have that, and it helps us to digest food. So God has made us so that we can digest food with water. Okay. It's needed by the brain to manufacture hormones and neurotransmitters. I never knew that. It also cushions the brain. It regulates body temperature, sweating, and respiration. It acts as a shock. That's what I was talking about. It acts as a shock absorber for the brain and the spinal cord. Do you ever think that your spinal cord has water protecting it? It converts food to components needed for survival and digestion. It helps deliver oxygen all over the body. We need oxygen to survive. It helps doing that. Water is the major component of most of the body parts. It lubricates your joints. Water lubricates your joints. It flushes and cleanses body waste, right? It comes out from us, right? We release that, and it takes all of the poisonous things, the things that our body can't retain, and it lets it go. Allows the body's cells to grow, reproduce, and survive. And it keeps the mucous membranes moist so that you can take a deep breath and feel good about life, right? Amazing, isn't it? All that. And that is God's design for our lives. He gives us water. He gives us water to go and to gather in our faucets or to drink in bottles from Poland water or whatever it is that we have. And we drink it. And those are just, that's probably just some of the things, you know, that water does for us. But you can look it up. It's amazing. And that, and to think that that has been given to us, God thinks about all those things. They're going to have joints, and so they're going to need something to lubricate those joints so that they can move without being in pain, right? We read in the scripture today about a woman from Samaria going to draw water. She went to a well. I don't know if you raise your hand if you've ever gotten water from a well. Yeah. You have to get a bucket and bring it down and bring it up, you know? So she went to this well, and that's where they found the water. And Jesus was there. He had gone through Samaria. And he said to her, give me a drink. It's so simple, right? Give me a drink. His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So I guess they would normally give him a drink. I don't know. But it's the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And here is the first point. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So right away, there's a very interesting kind of a take on this whole situation, right? He's saying, give me a drink. And she's saying, why are you talking to me? You're Jewish and I'm a Samaritan and I'm also a woman. This is not what I expected here. And he says, give me a drink, right? So how is it you're a Jew and you're asking a drink from me, a Samaritan? So the first thing that we meet here, the title of the sermon is the kind of water that Jesus gives us, the kind of water that Jesus gives us. Okay. So remember that. What kind of water is it? Okay. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And so Jesus is taking this woman away from the mundane life that she had and having this kind of a view on life of being limited in this kind of a way. And he's expanding her mind and he's revealing himself to her as God. He wants her to know that there's more to life in her life every day. Right. He wants her to know God. He wants her to know that God about God's gift. And when we talk about the gift of God and when Jesus is saying the gift of God, he's talking about the eternal life that only he can give. Give. He gives life. He gave you and me life. Right. This past week, we had scripture in Colossians that talked about Jesus as the creator. Right? We always think of this creation being by God, but Jesus was there and nothing was made without him. Right? So Jesus is there and he gives life there, but he gives life in a new way here. He's bringing new life into this woman's life, into the life of Nicodemus, all the people that we hear about and to us as well. So the gift from God is eternal life that only Jesus can bestow. Right. The only one is that he can alone can give. And then he speaks of living water. Right. This would have come as a very good way to speak about things. It wasn't the only reason, but it was a very practical way to talk about what's important in life with this woman because they lived in a very arid place. It was a place that lacked water. Water was so important, right? We go and we turn on the faucet, right? And we go to the store and we buy bottled water and we drink all this water and everything like that. But these people had to go and, you know, it was not an easy thing at that time. and we really take it for granted. But God is today inviting us into that with our own lives to talk about living water, right? In Jeremiah 2:13, we go back to the Old Testament. Remember last week we were looking at the Old Testament to reflect on the New Testament, and that's what you always want to do. Become a student of the Bible. It's the best thing you could do in your life is to be a student of the Bible. Go and to seek and to reflect and to go back and forth. And it's easier now than it ever was because there's so much on the internet that we can use for good things. Jeremiah 2:13 says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Okay, so there's two things that Jesus says. I mean, that God says here, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me. They've forgotten me," right? "The fountain of living water." So there's the connection here, right? This is something that was spoken of among the people of Jesus' time, but he's bringing it out to them in his own life. "A fountain of living water, and you have taken up cisterns," these things that hold water in them, right? "But they're broken cisterns that can hold no water." And that really means to me that that would reflect our sin. Right, we have things in us that there's a leak for all the water that God is wanting and desiring to give to us, and we fail because of our sin, and so there's that leak there. But the main thing is that we forsake God, and that's really what sin is, right? You may think it's doing something wrong, but it's really forsaking God, right? Because it's against him that we're sinning, right? You may not be intentionally going out sometime and saying, "I'm going to sin against God." You may be tempted to do something wrong, but in effect, you're affecting God because he's there with you. He loves you and he wants you to do well. He doesn't want you to be falling into sin because that separates you from him. So there's this view of our lives and a cistern with a leak and the water is coming out, right? But if we depend fully upon God, then the cistern is sealed. It's there, complete, and it's going to be filled and overflowing. There were prophets who looked forward to a time when living water would flow from Jerusalem. In Zechariah 14:8, it says, "On that day, living waters shall flow out from Jerusalem, half of them to the eastern sea and half of them to the western sea. It shall continue in summer as in winter." Is this water plenty at that time is what it's pointing to, these living waters. But it's not water like we're talking about here that we paint with and things like that. It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit, this living water that has no boundaries. It's just flowing everywhere. And that's what God does. Do you feel that you're cramped? Do you feel that your life is limited? Then come to Jesus and you will experience this freedom, complete freedom to let your life grow and overflow, because it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit in you that is bringing this, right? That's why it's so important that we do that. This metaphor here that we're talking about, it continues on. And it says in a verse, let me just read through this. It doesn't take long. "The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water?'" Right? So she's still thinking about the physical water. And, "Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock." It's kind of endearing, right? She's talking to God. And she said, "Are you greater than Jacob, our father?" Right? But that's the way God is. You know, he's so unassuming. He stands there and he takes this from this woman. It's just that I'm trying to introduce myself to this person so that she can know that God exists. And not only she, but most people, if not all the people, would have the same reaction. They would not recognize that they're around God. But he's kind to her. And he leads her to the way. He said, "Everyone who drinks this water this physical water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. So there's a difference between the water that you're drawing today and the one that I'm talking about. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Amen. And so he's leading her there with this as well. So let me jump down now to this other part where she said to him, give me this water so I will not be thirsty. I have to come here to draw water. But she's still there with the physical water, right? But he says to her, then go to your husband and come here. And she answers him, I have no husband. And he goes through this whole kind of a time with her in her life. And he does that purposefully because he is drawing her into the truth. Right? He comes to the matter at hand. Why is this living water important? And we're going to see in a minute, I'm going to try to connect that with what we just heard about this physical water and what the water for our bodies does. Okay. But he goes through this and she tells him, and in the course of this, we find out that she's been married. She's had five husbands. Then in that kind of a day, the woman had very little to say about a divorce. It was usually it's always the man who would be able to divorce a woman. And so she was someone who had been left to go by five people. But then, you know, maybe she said, well, enough with this kind of like getting into marriage thing. I'm just going to live with this person because I'm tired of being dumped by people. But that wasn't good for her. Not before God, not before Jesus. And so he was drawing that out from her, but he didn't say, you evil woman, you know, your life is a mess. And you get down on your knees and worship God and confess it. He brought her to the living water so that she would understand that there was someone who cared for her and loved her, and it was God. And he told her that there was going to be a time when people would neither, like the Samaritans, worship God on one mountain and the Jews on another mountain. It was going to come a time where all people would be worshiping God together with one spirit. And that's what God does in our lives here. He's teaching us and leading us to himself very gently and kindly, telling us and reminding us that there is another kind of water, a real water that is going to make a difference in our lives, and that is Jesus himself. He says in verse 23, the hour is coming and is now here. The now here is that Jesus is there with her. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And so Jesus is telling her that this is the way that life is. This living water is teaching her, and he is that living water. There is going to come a time where he's going to die for her sins, and he's going to go to that cross, and then he's going to resurrect. And then the Holy Spirit will be at work, right? For people who believe in him, and they will be newborn. They will have that living water living in them. They will have the Spirit of God living inside of them. It's going to come through his salvation on the cross. And that's what we're remembering today. So let me tell you what I was thinking about with this water and the things that the water does for our bodies. That kind of a water is very important for us. It keeps us alive. It helps our brain to be protected. It helps to bring oxygen throughout our whole body. It helps our, membranes here to be able to have, you know, moisture, and it helps us to be able to have joints that are moving without pain. It does all of these things. It sustains our life, but it cannot forgive us of our sins. Only Jesus Christ can bring the living water, and that is the water we need to be born again. That is what we need as a solution to our sins, everyone. He comes and he washes away our sins. And that is what living water does. His living water. He is the living water. And that Holy Spirit comes and lives within us, and that is what sustains us. But not for this world alone, beyond this world into heaven and forever. And so you see the greatest symbol that God, the reason that God has given that water to sustain us, aside from loving us and wanting us to have good lives with good health to sustain us, is to show us the living water that he possesses to wash away our sins and to give us new life. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't Jesus beautiful and kind to talk to us today about this in his word? And so someone said, the metaphor all through this book, this chapter says, it speaks of God and his grace. It speaks of knowledge of God, of life, and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Water promises cleansing. Amen? It cleanses, right? In Isaiah 1:16-18, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. Those are all things that Jesus brings into us and enables in us to do through the living water that he gives to us. All right. I'm going to read verses that we had last week in Ezekiel 36, because they're just so good. I think I need to repeat scripture more. God was telling me that this week, it's not just enough once, you know, you have to keep repeating things. Otherwise we tend to forget, you know, me too. Like 36:25-27. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from your uncleanness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So it's in Ezekiel 2. He was talking about that and helping us. You remember the dry bones? It follows short after that he talks about these dry bones. Talk about paint being dry and having living water, but the living water comes in, and this Holy Spirit is that living water coming and making those bones come to life. And that's what happens to us. And so Jesus is the living water, and he gives the living water to believers in him. There's one last verse that I want to bring to your attention. It was already read by Alex today, Isaiah 55:1. It's in your bulletin. It says, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. These are all an invitation from God to come to him so that you will be blessed. And there is no reason for you not to come to him. There's no reason. His blessing is so beautiful. It's so wonderful. It's so plentiful. It is waiting for people to receive. And that is what we are here to do as ambassadors of Christ, to go and to invite people to come to the waters, the living waters of Jesus Christ. And this scripture is not meant just to be heard in church. It's been, or to be read by someone, you know, here. It is to be read individually, one-on-one, or in small groups. And we're going to, you know, you want to look for opportunities to have that kind of a time with other people, to let them know that there's hope in life. And maybe you don't know everything there is to say about it, but the Holy Spirit promises that he will provide the words for you. So we're equipped. We have all that we need. There's no excuse. You could say one word to somebody that comes from the Bible, and it could work the wonders that God can do. In John 7:37-38, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anybody thirsts, let him come to me and drink. All right? Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This is not poetry alone. This is the word of God. This is the word of God that you can hear and see and taste all these things that are Jesus Christ, springs of living water flowing out. And that's what God wants for us today. And so as we come to the communion table today, we're considering what it really was that Jesus was teaching that woman that day, that he was there to give of himself. He was the one that was, as the living water, he was going to provide the means by which all human beings who believe in his name would be saved from their sins and have eternal life. And he went on to do that. And he was teaching this to these people, right? It's not just like, believe in me as this human being standing in front of you. I am the Son of God. I am the Messiah, right? I am that person that you've heard about that one day would come. I'm here to tell you I am here today and I have a purpose and I'm going to fulfill it because my Father has called me to this. And he went to that cross to die for all human beings so that we would be cleansed from sin and given new life.